We're going to let you in on a holiday shopping secret. You don't need to visit 20 places to find gifts for everyone on your list. Find what's perfect for them at Best Buy, all in one stop. You found perfect. Details at BestBuy.com.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this, what is it?
Thursday, the 7th of December.
You see that? We're testing her. Okay. That's Little Lisa tonight. Our producer for a while is the man named Style.
Hey, good evening, Pastor.
Hey, now in the...
Good evening, everyone.
Right here in the studio, from right to right, we have Randy, Lisa, and Coach Dwayne. They're here because they weren't invited anywhere else. So, but they're here anyhow. Now, way out yonder, listen to this. We were told that tonight he is going to say some things that's beyond brilliant. Dr. Peter Glidden.
Pastor, everybody, it's a pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
Hey, Peter, it's good to have you here. I've got a bunch of old sick people here just so you can heal them.
Bring it on.
All right. We have a lot to do tonight, so we probably better get on with it. And I'm going to turn my volume up so I can hear you a little better. All right. Title of the message was Seeking God and Suffering Persecution and Keeping the Faith. So we've already dealt with seeking God and keeping the faith. So tonight we're going to take a look at persecution. So this applies to the church. And we're going to be in John chapter 16, verses 29 through 33. Randy, go ahead and read that.
Sure. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest from God. Jesus answered them, Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
All right, so the apostles and the disciples, they were telling him, you just speak to us plainly. Don't speak to us in parables, because we now believe. We've seen what you've done. We've been right there. We now believe that you are the Son of God. So what does he say? He says, Do you now believe? Okay.
Amen.
Because he knew that just within a few minutes they were going to be all leaving him. Remember?
Yep.
It was. It wasn't long ago that. Well, very soon coming up, Peter was going to deny him three times.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Peter says, "I would never." And he said, "Lord, I would never ever deny you." And Jesus, "Oh yeah,
oh yeah,
going to do it three times." Okay. Now. He goes on, and he makes this point in verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Now, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now, here, let me ask you this. What's the difference between tribulation and the wrath of God?
Tribulation is things that you're going to go through, but the wrath of God falls on those who are lost, that aren't saved.
That's right.
So would you say like tribulation is like a sniffle and the wrath of God is like double pneumonia?
Oh, yeah, brother.
You'll wish the rocks could fall on you.
No, we have people, and obviously, you know, every time we talk about the tribulation period and the rapture of the church, we get letters back from people or sometimes phone calls. Right live on the air, sometimes you'll have people say, well, you people think that you're going to, I just had a woman recently say, you guys really think you're going to miss, you're going to be raptured out of here, you're not going to have to suffer, and the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible, the word rapture is not even in the Bible, right? Well, you know, the word Chevy Suburban is not in the Bible, but I drive one every day. It's real. I know it's real, right?
Okay. Yes.
Out there, actually, the rapture is explained. It's called the catching up.
That's the day of the Christ.
Rapture, yeah. Right, okay, of the church. And so now I can tell you this. I know a whole lot of fundamentalist preachers. I don't know of one that believes that we're not going to suffer tribulation. I don't believe one that believes that God is going to take us out of here, because I can tell you this. I've been fighting with these people for 50 years. They've tried to kill me a number of times, okay? I would say that's kind of some tribulation, huh?
You get tribulation from your families when you try to talk about Jesus. You get tribulations if you go to a council meeting and you bring the Bible into what God says versus homosexuality and abortion. You find all kind of tribulations where they kick you out of their circles. Oh, you don't drink no more. You don't get high no more. You don't go fornicate anymore. So you're kicked out. You're fighting tribulation in those areas as well. People get arrested at abortion clinics. That's tribulation.
Why, you're right about that. I can swear to that. They get arrested at the abortion mills.
Well, sure. I mean, if you think about it, for us, it's a way of life.
Right. Yes.
Tribulation is a way of life. Mm-hmm. It's because we choose the way we live, we have tribulation.
Pick up your cross and follow me. If you're a Christian,
right.
Hey, man, you're going to be hated.
Yeah.
You're one of those. You believe, you're a Bible thumper? No, I just believe what Jesus said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, so let's go over now to 2 Corinthians chapter 1.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to read verses 1 through 7. Coach, you want to read verses 1 through 7?
Sure. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints, which are in all Achaia. Grace be unto you, and peace from God, our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we might be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. You want me to keep going?
Up to verse 7.
Okay. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the endurance of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall ye be also of the consolation.
That word parakaleo there, where it talks about comforter, okay, is the same word, actually, that he uses there in verses 6 and 7, consolation. And actually that word means to have him come alongside. It's like paraclete, to come alongside you, okay? And what's he referring to? He's referring to the Holy Spirit, okay? Is what he's referring to here.
You can even paraphrase it to where, like, when a child is sick and a mother comes along and gives comfort and support to that child.
Paraclete.
Yeah.
Para, alongside, yes. Parallel, the prefix parent.
I don't leave you comfortless. I'm here. You
That's
can
right.
lean on me.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Paul, verse 1, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints that are in KI. Now, these saints, have they been canonized?
No.
Of course not.
So is he writing to live people or dead people?
He's writing to the church, which at that time was, were alive. They were alive.
That's what I always do. Yeah. Write to live people. Right.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Dead know nothing.
So then when do you become a saint?
When you get saved.
Right. When you get saved. That's
the very moment you become saved, right?
Okay, and no ordination from no great big church. It's an individual between you and God.
That's what the Bible teaches, right?
Exactly.
That's right.
It's called doctrine. It's called the Word of God.
That's right.
Now. So here now, so we as saints of God who will suffer a persecution of the church together. Okay, now we're going to suffer this persecution together. And because we suffer the persecution together with Christ, will we also reign together with Christ?
Rule and reign, that's what he said.
Okay, so... So he's telling us very clearly that this lifetime is kind of short, isn't it?
It's
like a vapor that appears for an instant and it's gone. And so, and whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Now, let me ask you this. Why did he allow Isaiah to be sawn in half?
Oh, it was to the glory of God. I mean, to me, the martyrs, if you notice, they don't die yelling, kicking, and screaming. They go through horrific trials, if you will, horrific tribulation. And you know what they do? They glorify God.
Yes, they okay. do.
So then, are we saying that those that have suffered most for the Lord will also be rewarded most for the Lord? That's what he's telling
me. I would say most definitely, because Jesus says, great is your reward when all men speak evil of you.
That's correct.
You know?
So
so if you hand tracts out and you're being accused, oh, there's only one way to heaven. Oh, you mean to tell me there's a hell? Oh, this is what you believe in? And people get mad and angry with you, and they write false things about you, and they slander your name. That's persecution. But, great is your reward in heaven.
But there's a jewel here that I think is often overlooked in this passage. This is one of my favorite funeral topics. And the reason being, you ever sit around and say, why me? This is the answer to why me right here in this passage, where because you suffer the hurt, if you will, the pain, then you become part of the consolation, which enables you to turn around and console somebody else.
That's true.
Think about that. Yes. And this is the why me. So whatever you're going through, this is why you too. So that you in turn, when you run into somebody running into the same thing that you're going through, I mean, who can comfort you better than somebody who's been through it and you know it?
Well, I had pancreas attack and God chastised me, I can turn around and somebody suffering and go, hey, man, I know exactly what you're going through when you're throwing up and you're sweating uncontrollably and you can't sleep. I understand. I've been there.
Right, because they got the consolation too.
Right.
They suffered, and then they also got the consolation. Now they give it. And this, to me, this is the whole nugget. In
good
this
point.
Whole
very good point.
This is the God of all comfort. And the other word in chapter 4 that we meet again is our tribulation word is in verse 4, right here in verse 4.
And there's another verse somewhere that says, count it all joy, for great is your reward in
heaven. James. Yes. James 1. Yeah.
So then should I say then, wow, it's really good to see Coach and Randy suffering the way they are, okay? Pour it on, okay? Because we know that they're going to be really rewarded in heaven for this, right?
Well, I'll tell you this much. The Bible doesn't lie. If you go into Psalms, spend some time in there. It was good that I was afflicted. When
That's
God
right.
chastised me, it taught me about drinking, fornication, cussing, and living high on the hog. It taught me a lesson. It brought me down to the depths of hell that even though I was saved, I backslid. That chastisement, I've always taught that pain is a great teacher if you pay attention to it. And it was God who took me behind the shed and beat me with pain that it brought me to, oh, God, I've sinned against you. I've been doing all these sins. Thank you for showing me this. And then he lifted it.
But, you know, the other log on that fire, too, that's wonderful about the pain and that, the reason God doesn't let you forget that is because you'd do it again.
It's a stop sign.
You'd do it again.
Fear of God's a stop sign.
But you remember, and you don't ever do it again when you remember.
Well, it's all that pain that made me so smart.
That same here.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like. Hey, well, Doc, you ever had any pain
say
yourself?
Pain
buddy?
Is gain, right? Pain
that's
is
right.
Gain. All right.
I'm taking too much Advil, baby. I need
all right. Okay. But now we're going to go. All right. We're ready. We're going to switch over right now because we are ready. Beyond brilliance, we have Dr. Peter Glidden with us tonight. And with that, Peter, well, we got a couple of very quick clips we're going to go through, articles. And let me start, Randy, with you on that article. Do it quickly.
Sure, real quick. Cover-up. A secret cover-up. Chinese biolab in California posed a national security risk. FBI shut down investigation, and CDC did not cooperate. A recent investigation conducted by the House Select Committee on the CCP uncovered new details about a secret Chinese bio lab containing dangerous pathogens that operated in Reedley, California. Distributing new details exposed by the investigation include the ability of the lab operator, who was, by the way, a wanted fugitive, to acquire dangerous pathogens without raising suspicions, the lab's connections to the Chinese government, as well as an apparent cover-up to its threat to national security by the FBI and CDC.
All right, who in this country is owned lock, stock, and barrel by the Chinese Communist Party?
His name's called Biden.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Uh-huh. And it says the laboratory was operated by a Chinese citizen, JLB, and then he was called Jesse Zhu, who entered America illegally under the false identity of David He as a wanted fugitive from Canada. The fugitive, who faced a $330 million judgment, was charged with the theft of intellectual property from American corporations as part of a transnational criminal organization with connections to the People's Republic of China. While Zhu maintained deep ties to several Chinese government-linked companies, he set up dozens of companies in Canada, China, and elsewhere that engaged in the theft of intellectual property related to biological engineering techniques in the American cattle industry. Zhu served as the general manager and chairman of the board of a Chinese cattle company, which directors included an executive for the company of the United States entity list and a Chinese defense firm. And it says local officials who made repeated efforts for federal assistance over their grave concern about the public health risk of this laboratory faced resistance from the FBI and the CDC. Once the officer was originally discovered, who discovered its original illegal activity, reported the incident to the FBI. Approximately 6 months later, the FBI notified her that their investigation was shut down after the Bureau, quote, determined there was no weapons of mass destruction in this property, unquote. Chairman of the House Select Committee on the CCP, Mike Gallagher, remarked, quote, the FBI said, well, we can't investigate because there's no ties to weapons of mass destruction, which is absurd, unquote. Local officials made repeated attempts over a period of several months to involve the CDC in this serious threat to public health. The CDC refused to speak with them on several occasions, and on other occasions just simply hung up with them on the phone. Likewise, local officials encountered several resistances from other federal agencies with authorities to handle matters of biohazardous material. And only after local officials contacted their members of Congress, who advocated that federal assistance on Reedley's behalf, that's Reedley, California, did the CDC respond to their request for an investigation.
All right, now let me just ask you this. Chris Wray just came out and said under questioning, Christopher Wray, the head of the FBI, he knows that we expect we're going to have a lot of terror attacks. You know, it's because of all the people that Biden has brought in. Biden has been bringing in terrorists into our country so that we would have terrorist attacks. But don't worry. You got to have that confidence because that consolation, we just read about that because Chris Wray said that they're on top of it. But, boy, don't that make you feel
so good. Oh, yeah, well, they're bringing in every single day, folks, every single day.
Okay, the top terrorists would be white men.
Too, right? The timing, you got to look at the timing. It's the same thing with COVID.
Yep.
Now, good point.
All this nonsense is going to happen right before the next election to throw
you're right
in the water, and it's going to be bad.
And don't you think it's kind of odd that as late as now, we haven't heard anything about, like, the new flu or the next disease, and I'm beginning to think it's going to be the terrorists.
But they're holding it out.
I think it's going to be the terrorists because we got elections coming. You know, we can certainly, if you think about it, I read an article about, a couple months ago about that there are enough people here where, like, in 20 cities, they could easily have 20 different terrorist activities on the same day at the same time, and believe you me, that would shut down America.
Yeah, well, ahead. Coach, we've talked about COVID. Coach has got an article there very quickly.
Check this out, ladies and gentlemen. Hero health worker turned whistleblower faces court after he exposes shocking number of deaths linked to COVID vaccine, shouts freedom to supporters in the gallery. This was reported December the 4th, 2023. On Sunday, the Gateway Pundit reported a 56-year-old employee turned whistleblower of the Te Wahu Ora New Zealand's public health agency was targeted by police raids. The whistleblower was arrested Sunday afternoon for his alleged involvement in the unauthorized disclosure of misuse data, according to police reports. The police disclosed that the whistleblower's true identity is Barry Young. Young, responsible for managing New Zealand's COVID-19 vaccination database, has become forward with alarming data regarding excessive deaths that he claims are connected to specific batches of the Pfizer vaccine. Now, here's what gets really interesting. Here's what Barry says. I was involved with building a project and helped with implementing vaccine payment systems for our providers. It's called a pay-per-dose system. So that means every time someone gets vaccinated, they get a payment for the provider. And it helped build and implemented it. And I implemented it. And when I was looking at the data, which is my job, I noticed some of the discrepancies with the dates of the death. People were dying within a week of being vaccinated, Young said. As soon as the system went live, we noticed that people were dying almost straight away after being injected. So that sort of promptly got my curiosity going a bit. So I dug a little deeper, he added. This cannot be a natural event. This is man-made, Young argued, adding, if it's happening here, guarantee it's happening everywhere. And we need more people like me to stand up and just come out. Don't be scared. Just do it. My name is Dwayne Risco from Buzzard, Ohio, reporting for What's Right, What's Left.
All righty. And I'm Pastor Sanders, and I'm just going to tell you that, Lord's willing, I will be along with Bill Wilder from Tactical Civics at the Liberty Valley Church this coming Monday, the December 11th, at 6 p.m., and that's the Liberty Valley Church with Pastor Jeff Turing at 9851 Old 8 Road, Northfield, Ohio. And so come on out. Hope to see you folks. I'll be meeting and greeting people. We're going to be talking about tactical civics, and that's how we're going to get our country back. And with that, we're going to go to a break, and when we come back, we're going to open the phone lines right out of the chute.
With Dr. Glidden?
Yeah.
He's my hero.
Oh, is he? All right. So we'll be back right after this.
can be heard. Son of God, Son of Man, He is salvation's plan for the earth.
He's mine, too, and if he's not yours, you're in more trouble than you can imagine. Listen, we're back, and we have with us Dr. Peter Glidden, and he's the author of many books, A Naturopath, and author of that famous, famous book, Attempt a Cure, which we can't keep in stock.
And everybody's sick, and I know why. I got both of them.
Yep, I know.
Smart coach.
And so there you go. It's a great book. And we're going to open the phone lines right out of the chute tonight because all you folks, whenever you're here, Peter, the lines are lit up for the entire time, and people say, "Well, I didn't have enough time to call him." But see, we got to limit the calls because you can't do a whole program over one phone call. But in the 3 minutes, 3 minutes is normally the average amount of time that we take that on a talk show like this call in. So that number is 888-677-9673, 888-677-9673. I'll say it slow. 8-8. People say they complain you give the number too fast. It's 888-677-9673. Already we have our first one right here live in the studio. It's the coach. Go for it, coach.
I have, Doc, I got a question from Janet. Her son, Jeff, is 39 years old. He's 190 pounds, and he's 5'11". He's having trouble urinating. He's got a lot of pressure in his bladder, and they want to prescribe him with, I think, if you pronounce it, with Tamsulolin, generic for flimsy, Flomax, and he has a lot of pressure. What would you subscribe for him?
Okay, so the most common cause of that is a swollen prostate. One of the cardinal signs of a swollen prostate is that about 50% of the time when you pee, the stream goes two ways. It's called a forked stream. Other symptoms of a swollen prostate are difficulty peeing. You know, it's hard to get it started.
Yeah.
Comes out and dribbles. You dribble after the fact. So it's probably a swollen prostate. But the Flomax or the Tamsulosin does not fix the reason why the prostate is swollen. It's a temporary fix. It's like, you know, taking a pain medicine for pain without fixing the reason that you had the pain in the first place, which is par for the course in conventional medicine. So the first thing to do The Flomax might not be bad for a week or two in order to give the guy some immediate relief. But we need to get to the root cause of the problem. And 90% of the time, the root cause of prostate inflammation is a deficiency in the trace mineral selenium. Because the selenium is to the prostate what calcium is to the bones. Now, if you are deficient in one mineral so much that it's giving you pathology, then guaranteed you are deficient in a bunch of other minerals as well, because minerals travel in packs, and the body doesn't need just one mineral. It needs 60, and it needs 12 amino acids and 16 vitamins. There's a total of 90 essential nutrients that the human body needs. So in the holistic methodology here, he would be given all 90 essential nutrients plus extra selenium. And there's also a botanical medicine called saw palmetto. So he should get, just do an Amazon search for saw palmetto, get a bottle of saw palmetto, and take triple the daily dosage, triple the recommended dosage for 7 days. But in addition to that, he should call Eiffel Health at 888-618-1796 and get one healthy foundation pack plus one or two bottles of selenium, one healthy foundation pack plus two bottles of selenium. Now, look, he doesn't have a swollen prostate because he has a prostate, and he doesn't have a swollen prostate because he has a Flomax deficiency, right?
Mm-hmm.
And again,
we lost him.
All right. Okay, we just lost Peter. Let's go with something happened there, line dropped. Hopefully we'll get him back.
Oh, absolutely. He's incredible. Right. I've been on all his products. I take his liquid calcium, his liquid trace minerals. I take his fish oils, and I take the minerals and the vitamins. I'll put all together. And he told you the 90 days, and after 90 days, my guts healed. I got off all the wheat. I got off all the cookies. I got off all the fried stuff. I mean, I followed it to a regiment. And then I take Wendy Wilson's body foundation pack and the milk thistle and the barberry for the gut and everything. And if you follow what Dr. Gilliden tells you, you're going to feel better, either that or you're going to suffer.
Yeah, but will you look better? Let's go to Anna over there in Pennsylvania.
That we need Randy to help us.
All right, there you go.
Hello, Dr. Gilliden.
Hello, Anna. No, he just dropped. We're waiting for him to get back with us here.
Oh, great.
And
okay,
so I've only known one other Anna. Are you the Anna that used to attend our church? You don't sound like her.
No, I'm from Pennsylvania.
Okay. All right, because we had a lady, that was her name, and she's the only time I've ever heard that name, and she attended our church for a while, but apparently moved out of the area. So,
well, I want to replace her and move there, okay?
All righty. Very good. So we're hoping that the Dr. Glidden...
No callback.
Will, something happened to him. He was, boy, I'm going to tell you, this is not good that this happens. But go ahead, Anna, answer your question.
I want to know, Pastor, about AFib, A-FIB, how he would treat that.
How he would treat AFib? It's interesting. We just have a fellow in the church that's got that problem. In fact, he's one of our volunteers here. And he has to go, and he's got a pacemaker that they have to take out.
That's
they
right.
just replaced it with a new one. And now it's got something to do with getting the heart rhythm. So hopefully we'll get Peter back. Until we do, we'll go ahead. We'll let Randy answer that question, see how he does.
Okay.
Well, actually, the fellow in our church is like Pastor talked about, is having his pacemaker replaced. But basically, if I'm not mistaken, and certainly I'm so far from a heart surgeon, okay, I think he's back. He's back.
Ta-da.
Let me start. Bring him back.
Yeah, the NSA cut me off. I don't know what happened.
Say, Dr. Glidden, I want to hand a baton to you. There's Anna on here, and she's got a question for you about afibrillation.
So go ahead. Go ahead, Anna.
Go ahead, Anna. Ask him.
Dr. Glidden, how would you treat AFib?
Well, we treat that all the time with a lot of success. The AFib is the heart is beating erratically, and it's not doing, it's not beating correctly. It's beating too rapidly, it's beating too slowly, it's not beating in sync. And the medical doctor will tell you that this is because you have a pacemaker deficiency, that you need a pacemaker, and which is ridiculous. The first, second, and third thing to consider with atrial fibrillation is that it is caused by degenerative disc disease in your spine. So there are nerves that come out of your backbone that go to every part of your body to make that part of your body work. And when the nerves exit the backbone that go to the heart, if the intervertebral disc, which is a little cushion that cushions the nerve as it exits the spine, if that little disc is not healthy, it's like a feather pillow that's lost its feathers. It's not cushy anymore. Then the nerve will become irritated, right? You laugh or you sneeze or you cough or you carry your grandchild on your shoulders or you bend around too quickly or you pick something up and the nerve gets pinched. And that's what causes the heart to beat erratically. So we recommend people go to a chiropractor and have the chiropractor assess the part of your spine where the nerves exit to go to your heart. And number one, number two, to take bone-building and cartilage-building nutrients into your body. And we have a combination there called the Healthy Bone and Joint Pack. So the recommendation would be a Healthy Bone and Joint Pack. Now, to tamp down the erratic beating, what you can do is get a Ziploc bag, put some ice in it, tape the Ziploc bag to the back of a chair, or, you know, to a chair, and take your shirt off and sit against the ice, so the ice is up against your back, the ice is up against the skin of your back, 10 minutes on, 10 minutes off, 10 minutes on, 10 minutes off, 10 minutes on, 10 minutes off. The local application of the ice to the center of your back should calm down the nerve irritation and help the heart to beat normally again. But we consider this to be a function of something called degenerative disc disease of the spine, which sounds a lot worse than it is, than it takes about 9 months to fix with the medical nutrition.
What about the blood thinners? Because they're saying when you're in AFib, it throws blood clots, and so you need blood thinners. What about that?
Well, I would agree that you need, your blood needs to be, you know, the viscosity of the blood needs to be optimized. The best way to optimize the viscosity of the blood is with omega-3 essential fats. But I don't have a problem with a person being on a blood thinner, you know, for a couple of weeks, a couple of months, until the AFib is fixed. But you have to keep in mind that, you know, the medical doctor may be the nicest person that God ever created. You know, they may work for Doctors Without Borders and donate their time to the poor, but the methodology that they're trained in does not attempt to cure this condition. It will, at best, only manage the condition, and that's not the best way to do this. So I'm okay with a blood thinner for a couple of weeks or a couple of months, as long as we are attempting to cure the condition. And the best way to do that is to optimize the bones and the ligaments in your spine.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
Okay, thanks for calling on. You know, Peter, you did good. That's exactly what I would have told her. Okay.
So,
let's go out to New York with Clifton. Clifton in New York, you're in the air. Hey, Clifton.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, I have a question for Dr. Glidden.
Go ahead.
I have a defibrillator, and they would like to put me on a blood thinner called Eliquis. What would you recommend as a blood thinner, as a natural product?
Okay, very good. Well, you don't have funky blood because you have an Eliquis deficiency, right? If the blood is too thick or too thin, it's because your body has run out of the nutrients that it needs to keep the blood healthy. So the first thing to consider in order to optimize the viscosity of the blood, the consistency of the blood, is omega-3 and omega-6 essential fatty acids. That's what the body needs to have healthy blood. But the body doesn't just need those two things. It needs 88 other things as well. And if you take all 90 essential nutrients, which include omega-3 and omega-6, you get much better bang for your buck. So the recommendation for you would be one healthy foundation pack plus two extra bottles of EFA plus. One healthy foundation pack plus two extra bottles of EFA plus. And you can order that at Eiffel Health, 888-618-1796.
All right. Thank you very much. Let's go to Cliff in New York.
Yeah. Hi. How you doing? Before I get to my question, that wasn't a disturbing article on LifeSiteNews.com. Japanese scientists did, cardiologists did tests that were very technical, that even asymptomatic people that took the shot, none of them had a normal heart. It's very disturbing. But I have three simple general questions. It's not very specific. First thing would be, I know, Peter, you recommend certain dietary practices, but should you try and break that down into rules? You know, I mean, you look at people going to Christmas parties. They might have a rule, I don't do this, but I'll make the exception for the Christmas party. I'll have, 10 desserts. Should people try and break at least, like, think about rules when they're, doing their dietary stuff?
It's a really great question. And, the basic rule of thumb here is that, should I breathe in asbestos ever? Maybe if I only breathe in asbestos the week before Christmas, I'll be okay. And, so the answer, of course, pragmatically is no, and the stuff should be avoided as best as you possibly can. However, we have to be realistic and we have to be pragmatic. And the 12 bad foods are not poisonous like asbestos is, and different people will have different sensitivities to them. For instance, myself, if I eat whole wheat or if I eat olive oil, if I drink olive oil, it affects me within 24 hours negatively. And it goes to my gums. My gums get inflamed from even a little bit of olive oil, and it's almost immediate. So there are some people that when they, break the rules of the dietary restrictions, they feel it almost immediately. And that might be a good thing because it just hammers home to them the fact this stuff really is bad for them and they need to be off of it. But I think the majority of people, they're not going to be hypersensitive to the foods like that. So a little bit of cheating around the holidays is okay. But because of the delayed nature of food aggravations in the human body, here's what will happen frequently. So during the holiday season, the person, they'll start to eat whole wheat, or they'll start to eat a little bit of fried chicken here or a little bit of fried chicken there. And they do that for 2 or 3 weeks. They don't even realize that they're doing it anymore because it becomes normal behavior. And then they get a head cold or they get the flu. But the head cold or the flu happened 3 weeks after they started breaking the dietary restrictions, and their brain doesn't put two and two together. So you just have to be mindful that if you do start to break the dietary restrictions around the holidays and then you get sick, it's because you broke the dietary restrictions, and you should remember that for the future. And I think that's the most important point for
Doc.
People
what about
understand.
Since you're on that subject? What about when you go to all these pastries? There's chocolate chip cookies, peanut butter cookies, and then there's baklava and all this other goodies that everybody's munching on it. And now that's a lot of the wheat intolerant that's in that stuff, correct?
Yeah, 100%. And you might be able to get away with a couple of pieces of baklava once, or a chocolate chip cookie here and a chocolate chip cookie there. You might be able to get away with that. But the tendency is, you cheat a little bit on Monday, and then you cheat a little more on Tuesday, and then you cheat a little more on Wednesday. And by the time Sunday comes along, you're cheating all the time, and you don't even realize that you're cheating anymore. So you have to be careful because that's a real slippery slope. A little bit around the holidays is okay, but just be mindful, please, of how it makes you feel, because it does have the tendency to sneak up on you and make you sick.
Amen.
And if that happens, you just have to be aware that that's what caused it, so you know that in the future you really shouldn't cheat anymore. That's kind of how to think about it.
Good stuff.
All
right.
Yeah.
Makes sense, right?
Can I have another question?
Sure, go ahead, Cliff.
Raise your right hand.
Yeah, okay. Really, two parts to this question. One would be, I heard a bizarre saying, I don't think it's true, you know, it says the average typical person at the age of 21 has spent 10,000 hours on computer games. But say that is true, is that damaging to the health, even in terms of sedentary? The second thing is kind of unrelated, but anti-aging, there was one thing I was looking at Google Scholar on, it was the Pine Bark French Maritime. It says it actually has anti-aging effects on the brain. But what would you say in general, just some things to keep in mind for anti-aging things, not just health, but the anti-aging part of health care?
Yeah, well, so that research has already been done, and those results are academic. So there are two things that you can do to increase your life expectancy. And this is academic, by the way. You can take this to the bank. Number one, eat fewer calories. The data are in that indigenous cultures who, you know, they had forced weeks or months of starvation because they ran out of food, those people live longer than anybody else.
Amen.
You put an animal on a limited calorie diet, they live longer than their peers who, you know, eat 3-4 times a day. So limiting your calorie intake is one of the keys to longevity, number one. Number two, consuming antioxidants above 20,000 ORAC points. Antioxidants are measured by their ORAC point. You know, vitamins are measured by their milligrams or micrograms, right? Antioxidants are measured by their ORAC score. So you want to do your very best to consume antioxidants in excess of 20,000 ORAC points a day, because that was another key to longevity with, you know, cultures like the Vilcabamba and the Georgians and the people that lived, you know, to be over 100. Everybody in their village lived to be over 100. One of the things that they all had in common was they were consuming foods that were really high in antioxidants.
Hey,
the average American consumes 1,500 ORAC points a day. So the goal here is 20,000 ORAC points a day and only eat one meal a day. You know, don't eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Just eat one meal a day, and you're going to be much better off.
I was just going to ask you that. I was just going to ask you that. They come up with this three-meal stuff.
So in terms of volume, Doc, what are we talking about? Yeah, I mean, you know, because obviously—
calorie intake?
I'm talking about in your, what do you call them, ORAP points or whatever, the points, like in terms of volume, what is that, in terms of volume, is that attainable or is that something like trying to eat the seven food groups every day? You'd be as big as a house
if you
do
it, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's super easy to do depending on what supplement that you take. So different supplements will have different levels of ORAC.
Okay.
So for instance, if you take, you know, we recommend people do the 90 essential nutrients. And one of the supplements in the 90 essential nutrients is a supplement called Tangy Tangerine.
Right, right.
And that comes in a powder form, and it also comes in a tablet form. If you take the Tangy Tangerine tablet, if you take four a day, you're getting 40,000 ORAC points a day.
Okay, so that's twice as much.
Okay,
gotcha.
Hey, Doc, let me ask you this. Since you said that you could eat one meal a day, you know, we've been pushed down our throat. Well, you got to eat three meals a day. Well, what if you got up in the morning and you had, let's say, you had three eggs and you had toast that was Ezekiel bread that doesn't have no gluten in it, and then you had some almond butter, some pure peanut butter with just salt that's in it. It's all it is. And then you took your 90 essential minerals and stuff. Some people would say, well, you need to eat a couple times a day. The doctors tell these people you need three meals a day. And what do you say?
Well, I say, how's that working for you? Everybody is eating three meals a day, and everybody's sick.
There you go.
I mean, everybody's sick. Look around. It's the new normal. Everybody is sick. I mean, that was the title of my first book. Everybody is sick, and I know why. Well, this is the reason. So,
yeah, but don't you really, I mean— don't you have to die from something? That's deep. That's deep, Peter.
No, but testimonial to what he's saying about once a day, yeah. Is it? And you guys know, you know Marco, that he's helped us out here before. But anyway, he eats once a day, has done it. And now the doctors are in the process of trying to ruin him by trying to tell him that he's borderline diabetic. And I know he kept the meter with him. I was with him yesterday, sure. As a matter of fact. And actually, when he eats, his blood sugar actually goes down. It's really interesting, but he only eats once a day. He eats no carbs, none of that. A lot of liver, a lot of protein, a lot of eggs, and that sort of thing. Yeah. And the vegetables, that, like he'll eat a lot of beets, too, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But my point is that he only eats once a day, and they're trying to ruin him now by telling him that he needs more fiber. And he's healthy as a horse.
Here's the take-home message there, right? I mean, if you had a plumbing problem in your house,
yeah.
You would not ask your high school swim coach for advice, even though your swim coach works in water all day long.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So the medical doctor has no training,
amen.
No experience, no appreciation, and no respect for medical nutrition. So why would you ask them about medical nutrition? But see, this is the problem with the medical monopoly, because the medical doctors often are so high on their horse that they will have opinions about things that they have no training and no clinical experience in, and they're perfectly okay with doing that, and that's a big problem.
Or they'll tell you, like they told my brother, well, you want vitamin C, just eat an apple, just eat an orange. That's all you need. You don't need supplements. You know why? Because you just go to the toilet and get rid of it.
All righty. Hang tight. We're going to go now to Enid out there in New York. Enid, you're in the air. Annette, okay.
He was close.
Yes, hi.
Hi, Annette.
Oh, hi, doctor. Okay, my problem is 25 years ago I fell off a ladder, and anyway, the spine is now burning, and I have stenosis, and I guess it's bulging disc from the neck down. And they have me on gabapentin 2 times a day, which is helping a little bit, and I've been taking ice packs to bed at times in case I'm burning at night. Is there anything else that I could do? To help the situation of the burning of the spine.
All right, we're coming right up to a hard break here. So, Peter, think about what you just said. Annette, you stay right there. We will be back right after this, and you'll get your answer.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
Ah, ho, ho, ho.
Hey, what's wrong, Santa?
Well, it's these elves. The new ones all feel entitled. They don't want to work their way up the ladder. In fact, they hardly want to work at all. Then there's those social justice elves. They keep pointing out everyone's differences, dividing the elves and getting them all riled up. And don't get me started about the reindeer rights elves. The shop floor just isn't the happy little place it used to be.
We should have used Red Balloon.
That's right, Santa. RedBalloon.work is America's woke-free job board. Every day, we help good companies find reliable, motivated job seekers without all the woke nonsense. And our new Red Balloon Recruiter Service is turning traditional corporate recruiting on its head, delivering high-quality employees for a fraction of the price. Give yourself a Christmas gift and post your jobs on RedBalloon.work today. And use promo code SALEM to get 10% off your first month's job posting, because life's too short for a bad hire.